Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos, Chav Gimel. We're on Chav Beis. We're on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud, and we start a new topic for today. As we've been learning out, there's a mitzvah called Yibum. We're familiar. This is now the fourth week that we started that went to this mitzvah. And the first 3 weeks were challenging, admittedly. In the first 3 weeks, we learned together that the mitzvah of Yibum, the basic mitzvah, is that Rachmanis, if your paternal brother dies, so you have a mitzvah now to be make him shame, to perpetuate the name. And in doing so, you're going to be marrying his widow, and the child that you're going to have with him is going to perpetuate your deceased brother. So this is the basic platform of the mitzvah. That part's easy. It's the details that are hard and complicated. So within the details, we spent most of our time since the beginning of the Masechta talking about that if the woman is, aside from being Eishesach, which in of itself is an erva, and the Torah is matir, the erva of Eishesach, but when if it's any other erva, if she happens to be any other erva, under those circumstances, you don't perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Not only do you not do it with her, but you don't do it with a co-wife as well. Tzaras erva is also going to be prohibited. And that, in an assortment of other topics, has been occupying her time. You do the mitzvah of Yibum with a brother, any brother. Good. That's what we're about to learn together. When I say any brother, so you'll see exactly what we mean in terms of who we're coming to include. Additional to that is that if your brother died and he had a child, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is only for a childless brother, but if there's a child, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. What kind of child are we talking about? Any child. Oh, so what does that mean? So again, stay tuned as we're going to explain that as well. The mission begins, Mishayesh l'ach, mikol makom zokei gezeishes achiv liyibum. So if you have a brother, mikol makom, any kind of brother, now that is an imprecise language of the Mishnah, and that needs clarification. The Gemara is going to give clarification. And he's your brother for any area of halacha. Now, any area of halacha also is a term that needs explanation. That's coming as well. However, if you have a non-Jewish brother, so that will not be included in this halacha. Again, we're going to explain that even better. So, if you have a son, mikol makom, any kind of son, so that will exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. V'chayv ha-makasov ha-kolaso, and also any kind of son is going to be subject to the isurim of cursing or hitting your father. I'll do it in order of the Mishnah. Hitting and cursing your father. Hitting and cursing your father are two isurim in the Torah, two serious isurim in the Torah. That which carry with it, if you do it intentionally with witnesses and warning, etc., so it's going to be subject to Mises Beis Din. So, any kind of son is going to be subject to the sisser. Uvno l'chol davar. Uvno l'chol davar. And he's your son in any regard. Again, that needs clarification. Chutz mimishesh l'ben, menashif chamen ovedes kochavim. With notable exception that if it's a non-Jewish son, not going to be subject to these isurim. Obviously, still ben prohibited from hitting and cursing his father, but not subject to the isur ha-Torah, being that the son is not Jewish. Now, mikomakom lasui emai. So we're going to go back to, so there are two halachas in this mission that we just learned together, and that is an ach mikomakom and a ben mikomakom. So we're going to go in order of the Mishnah, as the Gemara always does, and we're going to start with ach mikomakom, that he's your brother in any regard. So mikomakom lasui emai. So what does that mean? He's any kind of brother. So I'm a Rav Yehuda lasui emamzer. So let's say your brother's a mamzer. So now, whatever. I spent a lot of time thinking about this because if your brother's a mamzer, that means what was your relationship with his mother? So your relationship with his mother is an erva, which means that you and his mother were never married. Okay. Anyway, what Rashi deals with it, and it's a solvable problem. Meaning, you're not a mamzer, and your brother is a mamzer. And the easiest solution, of course, is that they're two separate mothers. Because again, for Yibum, you only have to share paternity; you don't have to share a mother. Anyway, your brother's a mamzer. So the Gemara says, Pshita achivu. So the Gemara says, okay, so your brother's a mamzer, so what? Meaning, I need the Mishnah to tell me that? It's obvious. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Because remember, one of the principal sources that we cited earlier in the Masechta, in terms of how we know there's a mitzvah of Yibum, is, and specifically when you share a father, is because we learned it from the brothers of, from the sons of Yaakov. So malahalang sherem v'lo psulim afkang sherem v'lo psulim. Just like over there, they were kosher brothers and apostle. None of the children were mamzerim. So over here as well, in order for there to be a mitzvah yibum, so the brothers have to be non-mamzerim. So the Gemara says, kamash malan. So the Gemara says, okay, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Ve'im ha'chinami. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, that havamina was outstanding. What a good havamina. meaning maybe that should be the halacha. So the Gemara says, Kevin delinyan yibam miftar niftar, nizkak nami zakik. So the Gemara says, no, because there's the following equation correlation. And that is that just like we know that a mamzer is going to pater from the mitzvah of yibam, which we're going to establish momentarily. So if a mamzer is going to pater from yibam, so mamzer also is going to create yibam. Meaning, if the child is a mamzer, there's no longer a mitzvah of yibum. So if the brother is a mamzer, so that means that there's a requirement of yibum. So, v'achiv hu l'chol davar, this mamzer is going to be your brother for every area of halacha, meaning not just yibum, but other halachas as well. What other halachas? So, l'may hilchasa, so the Gemara says, clarification, what are we talking about? L'yorsho l'tamilo, so that is for Yerusha and for Tumah. Meaning that you're going to inherit with him, and you're going to be splitting the Yerusha with him. And also, if you're a Kohen, so you could be Matami for this brother. We know as a Kohen, Kohen cannot be Matami for anybody outside of family members. So he's a family member. He's considered your brother. And you would be Matami if you were a Kohen. So Pshita Achivu. So the Gemara says, once again, I think this is obvious. He's your brother. So the Gemara says, no. Because, well, not no, but here's the Havamina. Look at the Pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Amor, where it describes and discusses the requirement of a Kohen, that he can only be Mitami for a family member. V'amamar She'er Zuishto. Now, She'er is a reference to his wife. Uksiv lo yitama bal bi'amav leheichalo. And what the Kohen is not allowed to do is he's not allowed to profane himself. So, yesh bal she'matame v'yesh bal she'ein matame. So the Gemara says sometimes the husband is going to be Mitami for his wife. A husband Kohen is going to be Mitami for his wife, and sometimes not. Ketzad, clarification. Let's say Kohen is married to a Grusha. So Kohen's married to a Grusha, Rachmanis' wife dies, and now, can he be Mitami for her? Can he attend her funeral? So the answer is no, he can't. So the Gemara says, so, we just learned together now that when it comes to a Kohen and his wife, if it's a Kasher marriage, so then he can go to the funeral. If it's not a Kasher marriage, he can't go to the funeral. So the Gemara says, so we just learned that regarding his wife. Now let's just simply extend that to Mamzer. Ostensibly, it should be the same thing. So the Gemara says, so now that I know the halacha regarding wife, it seems to be a really simple extension to brother. If he's a kasher brother, he's matami for him. If he's not a kasher brother, he's not matami for him. Sounds reasonable. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, that's what our mission is coming to teach us. No, that even though what we said regarding the wife is accurate and correct, nevertheless, it's not true regarding the brother. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. That Havamina was also fantastic. So V'eima, so the Gemara says, let's say Hachanami, Hasam Lafu, Hachanami. I don't know, the Havamina sounded outstanding. So the Gemara says, Hasam Lafuke Kaime Hacha Achivu. So the Gemara says, no, there's a distinction between apostle brother and apostle wife. When it comes to apostle wife, so what are you supposed to do with your apostle wife? So what you're supposed to do, it's obviously easier said than done, is you're supposed to divorce her. Cohen's married to a Grusha. So if he wants to follow the Torah, if he wants to do the right thing, he has to divorce her. Again, not easy, but that's what he's supposed to do. So regarding this kind of relationship, so the Torah is not encouraging it, just the opposite. The Torah is discouraging it. And even if you marry her. Now again, it's a lav, which means that there will be tefisas kedushin, which means that you are married, but the Torah still doesn't want it. And the Torah wants you to divorce her. And Rashi over here, I'm going to quote a language of Rashi over here. You want to see an interesting Rashi. Rashi, third line down. Lafuke kai mehilkach lav ishto he. She stands to be excused. Meaning the Torah wants you to divorce her. And therefore, Rashi writes this in really stark, terms. And therefore, she's not your wife. Now, Rashi does not mean she's not your wife. Meaning, she is your wife. But legabi the halacha of a Kohen being able to be metamer for his wife, know that somebody who you are not only lawfully married to, but somebody who the Torah encourages this relationship. But when it comes to a Kohen and a Grusha, so the Torah wants you to excuse her. And as a result of that, Lagabe Tuma, you can't be Matami for her. I mean, Rashi says it really strong, right? Lav Ishtohi, right? She's not your wife. Again, that Rashi is so interesting. But anyway, in other words, the Torah wants you to get rid of her. Masha Ein Kein, a mom's a brother. So mom's a brother, you know what he is? He's your brother, right? There's nothing you could change about that. And the Torah does not want you to distance yourself from him. But he's your brother. And as a result of the fact that he's your brother, and the Torah does not discourage the relationship. The Torah doesn't want you to just simply remove yourself from him. And anyway, you can't, meaning there's nothing you could do. Baruch Hashem, he's your brother. So that's the difference between a pasul wife versus a pasul brother. So how do I know that an offspring of a shivcha, man has a relationship with a shivcha, relations with a shivcha, and they have a child, and that child is not his. How do I know that? Pasuk Mishpatim, describing the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is Jewish, and the Torah allows him to be paired with a shivcha kananis. It's an unusual exemption given to the Eved Ivri, but the Torah gives it. And they have children. So the Torah says in really clear terms that Isha Viladeha Tialadoneha. When the Eved Ivri goes free, so he gets to take his wife with him. Yeah, his Jewish wife he could take with him. But now Shivcha Kananis, he can't take her with him, and he can't take his children with him as well. In other words, even though biologically it's his children, but halachically not his children. Mishishlo ben Mikoma Kompoter. Now we're up to the second halacha of the Mishnah, and that is a child. So a child, mikomako, meaning a child, any kind of child is going to exempt from yibum. So mikomako lasuye mayam revihu lasuye mamzer. So let's say the child is a mamzer. In other words, he had a mamzer child. Again, not with this woman, because if he had a mamzer child with this woman, it means they were never married. No. So in other words, what it must mean is that he had a mamzer child outside of this union. He had it with another woman. Who he would, whatever, a number of ways it can happen. This woman herself was a mamzeres. Alternatively, it was a illicit relations, whatever the case is. So la'asuyi mamzer, my time, I'm a crow, uvein, ain lo, ayein alav. So the Torah says that when is there a mitzvah of yibam? Only bein ain lo, when he has no child. And the word ain over here could be read as ayin. Now, the drasha over here, the technicalities of this drasha, are a little bit problematic. In other words, the Aleph and the Ayin are not the same letter. The Aleph is silent. The Ayin is guttural. Remember, we did the Gemara pretty recently that anyone who confuses their Aleph and Ayin, which is most people I know, myself included, so anyone who confuses the Aleph and the Ayin, it cannot be about tefillah. Okay, so in other words, it's not the same letter. But anyway, however the drasha works, I understand there are technical problems, but however it works, the point is, Ayin alav. So in other words, but you have to do an investigation, meaning whatever child is produced from him is going to exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, even if the child is a mamzer. So the Gemara says, now, if the child hits his father, this child who's a mamzer, so hits his father, so he is subject to all the punishments of the Torah, which in this case is Mises Beis Din. So the Gemara says, wait one second, both hitting and cursing. The Gemara says, "V'nasib amchalosar." Now, literally, the pasuk means that you're not allowed to curse a king, a leader. But we know that it includes everybody. But osemase amcha. Now, the drasha is that when are you banned from cursing somebody? Only when he is conforming. He's a ben Torah. He follows. You don't have to go that far. He follows the halacha. Okay, so then there's a ban from cursing him. However, if he's a Rasha, so then you have the right to curse him. Okay, a sensitive halacha, but the halacha pshuta is that if somebody's a Rasha, so you're allowed to curse him. So over here, the son is subject to cursing his father, and the son's a mamzer. Well, wait one second. If the son's a mamzer, what does that mean regarding the father? It means that the father conducted himself in direct violation of the Torah. So how can the son be subject to the iser of cursing his father if his father is a Rasha? The answer obvious, but the Gemara says it. So the Gemara says, Kedamara Pinchas Mishmed Rav Papa Bosa Tshuva Achanami Bosa Tshuva. So the Gemara's answer is really simple. He did tshuva. The father did tshuva. V'hai bar tshuva hu? The Gemara says, really? You produce a mamzer, you could do tshuva? I didn't know that. In fact, not only did I not know that, we learned together in the Gemara Chagiga not so long ago. V'atanan Shemem Manasi Omer Ezu Muvas Lo Yuchal Litkon Ze'abal Erva V'holim Mimenu Mamzer. So we learned the Mishnah in Chagiga. Look, there are mistakes that you can fix, and there are mistakes you can't fix. You produce a mamzer, it was a mistake. Not only is it a mistake, ma'uvas lo yuchal litkon. You can't fix it. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do that can undo that. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hashtami osa masa amchahu. So the Gemara says, oh, you're right, of course. In other words, there's nothing you can do to change that. However, can you do tshuva? Of course you can do tshuva. Meaning, the Mishnah in Chagiga just simply means you can't change the facts. You can't change the result of the Avera. The mamzer now is there, and right, and he's a living and breathing person, and with the status of mamzer in perpetuity, and not just him, but his future generations, et cetera, et cetera. nothing could do to change that. But as far as your actions are concerned, of course you can do tshuva. You can be mitzvada, you can, whatever the processes of tshuva are for that kind of avera. You could do tshuva. So in other words, the answer is resolved. Meaning, how is it that the son mamzer is going to be banned from cursing and hitting his father? Isn't his father's Rasha? No, the father's not a Rasha. Meaning the father was a Rasha, but now the father did tshuva. Tanu Rabbanan Abba Lachos Avihi Bas Eishes Aviv Chayiv Mishum Achos Mishum Bas Aviv. Sorry, Mishum Bas Eishes Aviv. Okay, from here until the bottom of Chav Gimel Med Aleph, the very bottom, so the Gemara is going to be dealing now with one topic. A man has relations with his sister, who is also his father's wife's daughter. Generally speaking, the two are the same. The two are one and the same, but not necessarily. Meaning a sister could be a maternal sister, and that the Torah prohibits as one of the arayos. So over here, it happens to be a sister that you share a common father with. So it is, number one, your sister. Number two, it also is your father's wife's daughter. Now, those are two separate arayos. Happens to be, in this case, describing the same woman. So the question now is, how many averes did you violate? Now, if you did a b'mezid, who cares? Meaning, it's an issachar race, and how many times are you going to get kareis? And kareis, anyways, coming directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so what difference does it make? Obviously, we're talking about b'shogeg over here, in terms of what practical difference would it make, and if you do so b'shogeg, so we know that for a violation of an issachar kareis that's done b'shogeg, you have to bring a karban chatos. And now the question is really simple. How many carbon chatos do you bring? Do you bring one or do you bring two? Really simple. So, habal al achos aviv bas eishes aviv chayv mishum achoso o mishum bas eishes aviv. So according to the Tanakhama, those are two isurim. It's the same woman, it's one act. Yeah, but this woman represents two isurim of the Torah. And therefore you're subject to two lavim of the Torah. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda amein uchayv ala mishum achoso belvad. And according to Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda, it's only one. And specifically, your sister, but not your father's wife's daughter. Okay, now, from here until right the bottom of our Amud Aleph of today's daf, so what we're going to be doing is classic. The Gemara is going to go through its standard back and forth. What are the Tanakhama's position? What's their source? What does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda do with that source? Where does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position come from? What does the Chachamim do with his source? So this is as traditional and classic a Gemara as one can find. My time, my derabbanan. So what is the reason behind the Chachamim? Amrei mechtik siver vasachoscha bas avicha o bas imecha. So the Torah says that one is not allowed to be with your sister, regardless of whether it's paternal or maternal. Ervas bas eishes avicha meles avicha choscha hi lamali. And then the Torah says that you're not allowed to be with your sister. Well, that pasuk now is redundant because isn't the first pasuk incorporate this iser? So the Gemara says, "Lamelish ma'minale chayva mishum achoso u'mishum bas eishes aviv." So the Chachamim will tell you, "Well, the redundancy is just that; it's a redundancy." But that just simply means that you're violating two arayos of the Torah with this one woman. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda amar kra choschahi. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda will tell you, "No." Read carefully the pasuk. Achoscha, he, she is your sister, and we know throughout the entirety of Shas, the word he is a miyut. It's limits. So mishum achoso atamechayvo v'itamechayvo mishum eishes aviv, and that tells me that in this case over here, only for the iser for the erva of achoscha, but not for bas eishes aviv. V'rabbanan hayachoscha he mayavdile. So here we go with the back and forth. What do the chachamim do with this phrase? So mi baylu lechayv alachos bas aviv u bas imo. Lomar she'in mazir min adin. What the Chachamim will tell you is that let's say you share a mother and a father, right? In a traditional family, that's usually what happens. Your sister, you and your sister sharing both parents, mother and father. Now, if you're with her, so the achos chayi is coming to teach me that even she is going to be prohibited to you. Now you think to yourself, now, wait one second. Isn't it obvious? If you're sharing one parent with her, you're violating the Isra of Achoscha. Now you're sharing two parents. Now I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me, oh, you just violated the Isra? It's obvious. Or if I could take out the word obvious and replace it with a word that we're used to, it's called a kal v'chomer. It's a logical argument. This is one of the most logical arguments that one can imagine. So the Gemara says, and what the Chachamim are teaching us is, I know it's a logical argument. However, Ain mazirin min adin. But we have a rule And that is that an Isser cannot be produced by a Kavachomer. Now, this is an interesting discussion. Gemara in a number of places, including right here in today's daf. I know yesterday's. But we know that you cannot manufacture halacha or isurim in the Torah using a Kavachomer. And that's what the Torah is teaching us over here. Meaning by adding the extra words, achoscha hi, the Torah is telling me that I need the pasuk to teach me that if you share mother and father, she's also to you. You could have learned it through a Kavachomer. You're right, you could have learned it through a Kavachomer. But we don't produce isurim in the Torah via Kavachomer. Kavachomers can give can provide for us halachas within a mitzvah and aveira in the Torah, but cannot produce the aveira yesh me'ayin. So Gemara says, good. So that's what the Chachamim learn. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, imkin lichzav rechman achoscha. So Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, I agree. The outstanding point. And if the Torah would have just simply said the word achoscha, mission accomplished. That's exactly what the Torah would have taught us. He lamali. But that extra he, what is that coming to do? So mishum achoscha atamecheva, v'yatamecheva, mishum basi yishas aviv. That additional point. That you're only chai for one avera, not two averas. So, and the Chachamim will tell you, no, both of those words are specific to this point. Why? Because if I only had the word achoscha, I would have said, generally speaking, I can manufacture an avera through a kavachomer, just not here. And maybe you'll ask me, so why does the Torah say the word achoscha? So, because generally speaking, that even though we can learn it out through a Kavachomer, the Torah goes out of its way to just simply state what is the obvious. Kasarachmani he. That's why the Torah has to say the word he, to teach me that this is not an exception. This is a rule of Ein Mazirin Min Adin. It's not just here. It's throughout the Torah. You cannot produce an issue in the Torah using Kavachomer. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Imkin Lechtavei Rechman Lachoscha, he, Beidachra. Now, what Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda will tell me is that no. If that's what the purpose of the Torah was, to teach me achoschahi, is to teach me this singular point, this would have been better served if this pasuk were placed. Not in the pasuk regarding sister, but regarding the pasuk of Bas Eishas Avicha. Then it would have made this exactly this point. By virtue of the fact that this pasuk is cited here, or I should say better, the phrase is cited here in the pasuk regarding your sister. So according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, it's specific to the point of, even though she's two averas, you're only going to be subject to one avera, not both averas. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, hai bas eishas avicha mai avilei. Now, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, simple question now. What do I need the pasuk of bas eishas avicha? Your father's wife's daughter. Meaning, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, there's only one avera for her, and that's a choscha. That's the erev of sister. So why does the Torah need now another pasuk describing the same woman? And anyway, you're not going to be subject to that avera. It's a really strong question. The Gemara is going to give no less than four suggestions to this question. Number one, mi ba'ile mi sheish lo ishos avicha ba prat lachoso mi shivcha va'avos kochav mi she'in ishos avicha ba. So I need the other pasuk in the following circumstance. Let's say she's your sister biologically, but halachically she's not your sister. I.e., the woman that your father had her with is either a non-Jew or a shivcha. Then, under those circumstances, she doesn't fall under the category of achoscha. Okay. But she's still bas eishas avicha. That's why I need the pasuk of bas eishas avicha. Gemara gives three other suggestions. V'eima prat lachos ameanusa. So the Gemara says, well, let's say your father just simply violated a woman. Meaning, he had your sister out of wedlock. So maybe that's what the pasuk's coming to describe. Gemara says, nope, that's not possible. Ha'ilo matzis amritz midarava derava ramiksi vervas bas bincha o bas bitcha lo segaleh ha bas bina dida o bas bita dida share. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to reveal your granddaughter, whether it's through your son or through your daughter, which would sound like it would indicate that her daughter and her granddaughter are permitted. Meanwhile, I read on in the Parsha of Arias, and the Torah says very clearly, your wife's daughter or granddaughter is prohibited to you. So which one is it? Hakeitzad. So the Gemara says it depends. If the relationship with you and that woman was anusa, meaning you violated her, you did not marry her. So under those circumstances, so on those circumstances, we have the diuk that we made in the first pasuk. if you married her, so then we have the second pasuk. So that means to say that if you didn't marry her, so her daughter and her granddaughter are not going to be prohibited to you. If you did marry her, so her daughter and her granddaughter are going to be prohibited to you. Okay. Ve'ema, the Gemara gives us another suggestion as we're now in the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Ve'ema pralachai ve'lavin. The Gemara says, well, maybe, the question, let me just reset the question one more time. According to Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, a man's with his sister. So he's violating not two averas, but only one avera, the vera of Achoscha. You're not violating Bas Eshes Avicha. Gemara wants to know, okay, so that's the sheet of Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. What does he do with Bas Eshes Avicha? What does he do with that pasuk? So the Gemara now gives, the Gemara has so far given two suggestions. The Gemara now is giving a third suggestion on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Ve'ema pralachai ve'lavin. Well, maybe the relationship between the father and his wife is chai ve'lavin. So Amar Papa chai ve'lavin tafsei b'kedushin. So the Gemara says, no, you know what we call that? We call that marriage. It's not sanctioned. The Torah doesn't want it. But nevertheless, we know that if a man marries a lav in the Torah, the marriage works. Dichsiv, kisi en lishte nashim, and I know this from the beginning of Parshas Kisetze, where the Torah there describes that a man has two wives. Achas ahuva v'achas nua. One wife that he loves and the other one that he hates. Now, v'chi yesh ahuva lifnei hamakom v'yesh nua lifnei hamakom. So we're understanding over here that love and hate over here is not a description of how he feels about her, but love and hate over here is a description of how Kadosh Baruch Hu feels about her. Kadosh Baruch Hu hates anybody? Chas v'shalom. No such thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves every single one of us. Now, I know it sounds like something you would not be hearing in the Daf. Okay. you are hearing it. We're all hearing it in the Daf. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves every one of us. So the Gemara says, the Ella Ahuva Ahuva Benisua, Snua Benisua. Love and hate over here is just simply a description of the relationship, the union between this man and his two wives. One of the relationships is loved, meaning it's a sanctioned marriage, and the other relationship is not loved, meaning it's a non-sanctioned marriage, i.e. it's a love. It's a love. And yet, the Amar Rachmana Kisiena, and the Torah clearly describes where you're married. So you see very clearly over here that even though it's a love in the Torah does not want you to marry her, but if you do, is Tfisa's Kedushin. So the Pasuk of Bas Eshes Avicha cannot be describing where it's a lav, because you know what that's called? It's called marriage. Ve'ema pralachai v'krisus. So the Gemara says, okay, well maybe the child is produced with a union that is prohibited by an Issa Karis, i.e. it's one of the Arayas, or Eshes Ish, whatever. It's an Issa Karis. So Amar Rav Amar Krai Vers Choscha Bas Avicho Bas Imecha Moledes Bais O Moledes Chut. So here in the Psukim in Arayas, it says your sister who is Bas Avicha O Bas Imecha. Either you share a father or you share a mother. Either she was born inside the house or born outside the house. What does that mean? Bein She'omim Lo Lavicha Kayem Bein She'omim Lo Lavicha Hotse. You tell the father you can keep that wife, or you tell the father, no, you got to divorce her. So, and the Torah says, Achoschi, that she is your sister, meaning only when the marriage is sanctioned. Then and only then she's your sister. So the Gemara says, really? So maybe... maybe it would also include a sister who is not Jewish, meaning the sister is coming from a shivcha or an ovedes kochavim. Amakra bas eshes avicha mishesh lo ishus laavicha ba pralachoso mishivcha ovedes kochavim. So the Gemara says, no, there has to at least be a potential of ishus, meaning in an iser kares. So there's no ishus for you. You can't marry her, and not only can you not marry her, even if you try, it's not going to work. But we have a ribui that includes this woman. Meaning that if you produce a child with this woman, so then the siblings are in fact considered siblings. But you can't marry the mother. That's true, you can't marry the mother. But at least she is marriageable. Somebody else can marry her, but when it comes to Shivcha Novodis Kochavim, nobody can marry her. So the Gemara says, Amar Raisa. So now basically here's what just happened. We have a ribui and we have a miut. An inclusionary term, an exclusionary term. The inclusionary term is kisiyan liishte nashim achas ahuva v'chatz nua, and from there we deduce that if the I backed up too far. We have a drasha of moles bais moles chutz, which tells me even if the wife is a chutznik, meaning it's not a wife. In other words, it's somebody outside the construct of marriage. So still the children are siblings. And then we had another drasha that we quoted earlier this morning that tells us that if the mother is a shivcha or noved es kochavim, then the children are not halachically siblings. And as a result of that, they can be with each other. Well, I'm not sure if I would go that far. But in other words, but there's no isser of a choscha. Okay, let's go that far. So so what do we do? We are including the isuri kares, excluding shivcha noved es kochavim, uma ra'isa. The Gemara wants to know, was that arbitrary? No, the Gemara says it's not arbitrary. Mr. Bechai v'krisos havalele rabbanan. I'm sorry, havalele rabos. Shekein tafse ben kedushin la'ama. So the Gemara says, no, isuri kares. So again, you can't marry her. And here can't means it's not going to work. There's no tefisas kedushin. But she's marriageable. She can marry somebody else. Adarabba shivcha v'avadis kochavim havalele rabos di imigaira lididi nami tafse ben kedushin. Let me try to make an argument that when it comes to a shivcha or avodas kochavim, so it's true in the current state right now you can't marry her, but if she converts, you yourself can marry her. So the Gemara says, "L'chi megayra gufach rinahi." Yeah, you know what happens when she converts? She's a different person. She's a totally different person when you marry her. It's not the same person. So for the case of the shivcha kanani, it's 100% correct. She's liberated, and with that liberation comes geirus. But again, same story. She's a new woman when she converts. Okay.
Is this
if the, right, that's exactly the point. Meaning, if the brother's wife is not Jewish, yeah. Wait. You're going back to Yibum.
I'm going back to Yibum.
All right, I know, but we're off Yibum. So, right now we're just talking about this family relationship and just the Isurim that applied to this family relationship. Okay, so where are we right now? As I promised, a long discussion in the Gemara regarding a man who's with his sister. How many Isurim does he violate? One or two Isurim. According to the Chachamim, two, Achoscha and Eishes, Bas Eishes Avicha. Okay, that's according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda, one Avera, of Achoscha. And as far as Bas Eishes Avicha, that covers a different scenario. But if it's a standard sister, it's only going to be Achoscha. And the Gemara now is in the middle of the back and forth between Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. V'rabbanan lemutei shivcha v'avodas kochavim enalohu. So now, where do I know, according to the Chachamim, that if your sister is coming from a non-Jewish mother, how do I know that she's not going to be subject to the Yisr of Ebas Eishes Avicha? Because according to the Chachamim, that pasuk is needed here for the standard case of sibling. So now I no longer have the pasuk of Bas Eishes Avicha like we had for Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda. So now, how does he know the halacha? He's not disagreeing with the halacha. He's just disagreeing with the source of the halacha. Where is the source? So the Gemara says, Nafkalu midi isha v'yalda t'yala adoneha. So the Gemara says, well, with the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, as we already pointed out. The Gemara says, yes, but that only gets us halfway there. That pasuk is only describing shivcha kananis. So the Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda chab shivcha v'chab avodas kochavim v'tzricha. Now Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda will tell me exactly that pasuk is only talking about shivcha kananis. This pasuk of Bas Eishes Avicha is teaching me about avodas kochavim, and I need both. Di'i ashmina shivcha mishum de'ein lachayas. When it comes to shivcha, there's no yichus whatsoever. Ava avodas kochavim di'is lechayas emalo. But when it comes to non-Jew, there's yichus, there's lineage. In other words, nationality that exists by non-Jews. And we know that, of course, because we have to be sensitive to nationality, right? Moav, Amoni, we'll talk later in the Masechta. There is yichus when it comes to non-Jews. So even if I would have known by Shivcha Kananis, I wouldn't have known by non-Jew, because there's yichus. Alternatively, if all I had was a pasuk by Avodas Kochavim, so they have no connection to mitzvahs whatsoever. Mitzvahs haTorah. They have shiva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, but they don't have any connection to mitzvahs haTorah. Shivcha Kananis, she's a shomer Shabbos, and in addition to a number of other mitzvahs. So then, if I only had a pasuk regarding avodas kochavim, that wouldn't have informed me regarding shivcha. So tzricha, therefore, they're both needed. V'rabbanan ashkechan shivcha avodas kochavim min alahu. Okay, so we're almost done. So now I go back to the Chachamim, who now agree with the halacha that if the sibling is being generated by either a mother who is not Jewish or Shivcha Kananis, in both of those circumstances, what's the halacha? The halacha is that she is not your sibling vis-a-vis the arayas. How do the chachamim know? Now, we already know how they know regarding shivcha. That's the pasuk in Mishpatim. How about Ovedes Kochavim? How did they know that? Now, v'chitem an elef mishivcha, maybe they'll just learn it from shivcha. Hanu mitzruch tzrichi. The Gemara says, remember, they're both necessary. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shema Mayachai, I'm a Krak, he has Yiras Bincha Me'acharai. So the Gemara says they learn it from a different pasuk, and that is that if you marry a woman from any one of the seven Canaanite nations, so what's the problem? So the problem is Yasir es bincha me'acharai. He, there are going to be a couple pronouns coming, he is going to take your child away. He's going to take your child. That's two pronouns. Who's the he? Who's the your child? So the Gemara's understanding is that the he, meaning that's the non-Jewish husband. The Goyish husband is going to take your child. Your child over here, meaning it's addressing the grandfather. In other words, if he marries your daughter, he, the Goyish husband, is going to take your child. Your child meaning the child's Jewish. So, ki asir is bincha me'achray. Bincha mi'israelis kari bincha. So if the mother is Jewish, so that's called your child, meaning he's Jewish. Ve'in bincha ba min ovid is kochavim kari bincha. But let's say it is the... It's a non-Jewish mother, so then it's not bincha, ela bina, but rather it's her son, meaning he's not Jewish, what we describe as matrilineal descent. So Am Ravina Shmamina ben bincha ba min ovid kochav kar bincha. So the Gemara says, so Ravina says, good. So what did we just learn together? We just learned together that if the mother's Jewish, the child's Jewish, meaning Jewish and with no pagam, meaning the child is not a mamzer. This is a debated point throughout the Gemara. In terms of when you have a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman and they produce a child, so the child's Jewish. That is agreed to by everybody. What is open for a discussion, however, is does the child have any kind of pagam? Does he have a halachic defect? Some are of the opinion that the child is a mamzer. The Gemara over here, our daf today, Chav Gimel Man Aleph in Yavamos, is of the opinion that the child is totally Jewish with no halachic defect. As everyone here knows, that's the accepted viewpoint. That's our Gemara today. Lema kasev Ravino ove kochav ve'evra ba bas Yisrael havla kasher. So the Gemara says, well, it must be that Ravina's of this position as well. So the Gemara says, no. And nihi demamzer lo have kasher nami lo have. So the Gemara says, no, there's something in between a kasher and a mamzer. Meaning that Ravina doesn't necessarily, meaning he could, but doesn't necessarily say that the child is perfectly kasher. There could be some halachic pagam, but in other words, we don't have to go all the way to mamzer. Yisrael pasul mikre. So the Gemara says, well, it could be that he's just simply a pasul, meaning to a degree, he's disqualified. Now, what that degree is and what does that mean practically? Unsure. But the Gemara is not saying it definitively within the sheet of Ravina. The Gemara is saying that there's just simply that possibility, that something exists between being a kasher and a mamzer. So the Gemara says, hi, b'shiva umos ksiv. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. So you're telling me now that the entire source for the Chachamim, that if the mother is not Jewish, the child is not Jewish, is based on the Pasuk of Ki Yasir. Now, if you look at that Pasuk in context, it's really clear in that Pasuk, it's talking about the Zayin Amim, the seven Canaanite nations, which means then that in that circumstance, the child is not Jewish. In any other circumstance, the child would be Jewish. So the Gemara says, no. Kiyasir l'rabbos kol amasirin. So the Gemara says, no, kiyasir means he's going to take your child away. Physically, maybe. Religiously. Meaning, and anyone is going to do so. Meaning that if the father belongs to any other religion, he's going to take your son away. So that kol hamasirin, even though contextually the pasuk is clearly talking about the Zayin Amamin, but what we're doing is that we're Dorish Taima Dekra. We're looking behind the reason of this particular, in this case, it's a halacha. So, and the reason behind the halacha is that the father's going to take him away. Ha'nicha l'Rabbi Shimon the Darish Taima Dekra. So the Gemara says, great. Rabbi Shimon says that you could do that. You could look at the reason of the mitzvah and shape the mitzvah, in this case, the halacha, based on the reason. That's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Again, throughout Shas, Rabbi Shimon always allows for Darish Taima Dekra, allows you to look at the reason behind the mitzvah, and therefore shape the halacha based on the reason. Okay? It's a tricky maneuver because you have to be clear that this is in fact the reason. And okay, it's not easy. But Rabbi Shimon does it. So the Gemara says, but Ella Rabbana Manalahu, But that is not a universal position. The Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim are not Dorish Time of Dekra. They don't look behind the reasons of the mitzvah and therefore shape the halacha based on the reason. So according to the Chachamim, what's your source now? So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? I know Dorish Time of Dekra is subject to a machlokas. But remember, what are we doing right now? We're in the middle of a machlokas. So Mantana de Palagala de Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimoni. Look, our whole objective this morning is to understand the sheets of the Chachamim. The Chachamim is an anonymous viewpoint. Usually it describes the majority viewpoint. That part's true. But in this case, what we can easily say is that the Chachamim of our debate is none other than Rabbi Shimon. Ah, and now you want to know, where's the source behind the Chachamim, who now we identify as Rabbi Shimon, that if the father is Jewish but the mother is not Jewish, that the child is not Jewish? It could be that he's Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon's Dorish Chaim HaDekra. And the Pasuk of Kiyaser, even though contextually he's talking about the Zayin Amamin, but in terms of the reason behind it, is that it would apply to anyone and any non-Jew. Ad Kan. That was a long sentence. That was one sentence this morning. Okay. Okay, so we spent a good bulk of today's daf exploring the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. A man's with a sister, he's violating a riot. Right? That's you walk out of here today, that's a given. That's an absolute. Yeah, we know that. The detailed discussion we're having in today's daf is one avera, two averas. Is it achoscha and bas eishes avicha, or is it just achoscha? It's a machlokas tanaim, and what we just did in the Gemara, in its classic set, in the classic fashion of the Gemara, is that we went through the back and forth of where does each generate their position from, and what does the other do with the psukim that were used for their litigant, the point of debate. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Amud Aleph. We are now starting off now the Amud Beis of today's daf. It's exciting. We're going to catch up, not fully, but we will catch up. Okay, this next mission over here is for sure going to spin your head. Okay, so, and I'm going to go through it a little too quickly. I apologize. But the mission over here is going to just deal with a problem and a solution. The problem is that you are a Mekadosh woman and happens to be one of two sisters and you don't know which one you are a Mekadosh. Okay, so as far as romance is concerned, so right now that's out of the discussion. Okay, there was no courtship. And if there was, okay. And by the way, just in terms of envisioning how in the world could this happen, just remember the second parak of Kiddushin. You can be Mekadosh a woman al yidei shlichus, agency. So, okay, fine. So, there was an agency. You went to the agency looking for a wife. Fantastic. Okay, we got one for you. Perfect. You give them the money. They give her the money. I'm not mocking. In other words, right, this is, I'm just being a little bit comical about how it can be done. But we know that Kiddushin could be done Ayidei Shlichus. I'll also remind all of us that the Gemara there in the second paragraph of Kiddushin says, it's a mitzvah to see her before you marry her. In other words, you want to know that there's some attraction, okay? And the rest, you'll work out afterwards. But there's an encouragement that you should see her before you marry her. Okay. In this case over here, you pin. I know, I love this too. So you identify which family you want to participate with. You know the family, and they got two daughters, and you send the kesef kedushin. Look, one of them. Okay. I was thinking the same. Anyway, okay. How we got to this? How we got here? It's important, but that's not super important.
Who gave the kiddushin?
Apparently not. She sent a shliach. Maybe they both sent. Yeah, they both sent a shliach. Okay. Again, as far as where we're at right now in the Mishnah, so I'm sure it would make for a fantastic novel in terms of how we got here. We now don't care. Meaning we're here. And we're looking just right. We're right.
Now what?
Phil, you and I are the same. Let's just solve the problem. So So a man was Mekadesh, one of two women. It happened to be they were sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadesh. So no, so you have to give a get to both. In other words, you cannot consummate the marriage with either one of them. Right. What's the problem? In other words, because the one that you are with may end up not being the one you were Mekadesh, And if that's true, so then who were you Mekadesh?
What about the
Lishma? Wait, one second. Which one you were Mekadesh? You were Mekadesh the sister. So then this woman is what? This woman now is Achos Ishto. Wow. That, right? Say everyone see the problem? So the only solution now is that you have to divorce both. Okay? Granted, by the way, an unpleasant solution, but it's the only solution. So, Meis Velo Ach Echad. Now, if this person dies, again, same problem, but now a complication, another complication. And that is that this man died. After having been Mekadosh, one of two sisters, and he doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh, he dies. So, Cholos L'Shtayim. So now what does the Yavam have to do? So the Yavam, only one solution, and that is he must do Chalitza to both of them. Why can't he do Yibam? Again, the problem is that we don't know which one of the sisters is Mekadosh. Each one of them represents not only the possible Zakuka, but also each one of them represents a possible Achos Zakuka. You can't marry Achos Zakuka.
Did you give a get to a woman you're not married to? You're
possibly married to her.
I know, but that's
tonight, right?
Right. If you give a get to a woman, if you give a get to a woman you're not married to, so then it was nothing. Just simply had no significance whatsoever. But over here, you're possibly married to her. So Alan agreed. Totally agreed. Meaning you're right. The solution itself is going to have consequences. Right. Like any solution, Alan, you know this, I know this. Any solution to any problem is going
to
have consequences. Correct. How you low? In other words, we have a problem. We're going to solve the problem, and even our solution is not going to. There's no perfect solution. Okay. How you low Shnayim? So now, again, a new wrinkle in the same case, and that there were two surviving brothers. So again, the third brother was Mekadosh. One of two sisters doesn't know which one it was Mekadosh. Then he died. And there are two surviving brothers. Now here, it can actually work out a little bit better with two surviving brothers. So echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. So one will do chalitza and the other one will do yibum. Now why? Because one did chalitza. Did he do it to the right one? Maybe. But for the next brother, however, whichever one it was, problem resolved. Meaning, consider. Let's say chalitza was done to the correct sister. Okay. So then you released the zika. And now the brother's just simply marrying the sister. Totally fine. If, on the other hand, it was the wrong one, so then the brother's doing Yibam is doing Yibam. Okay, good. Kidmo.
If he's doing Yibam instead of regular Kiddushin, where he's like, doesn't that make a difference?
Not really. Meaning, I do hear your point, but not really. Meaning Yibam in this case will be just simply be the Bia. In other words, if it were in Yibam, so then yes, you're right. Then there would have to be Kedushin, and you're right. In other words, the procedure of marriage would be slightly different, right? Okay, let's just leave it at that. Your point is good. Kid Muvikinsu Ein Motzi Miyadam. Now let's say there's a specific order it has to be done. Meaning in this particular scenario, it has to be first Chalitza and then Yibam, as I just got done describing. If let's say one of the brothers got really excited. Okay. In other words, and he was miyabing one of the sisters, so he jumped the gun, but he gets to keep the wife. And then, but the other brother still is going to have to do chalitza to the other sister. Shnayim shekishu sheachayos. So here we go. This is classic. The Mishnah now is just going to give now a similar scenario, but with a new wrinkle. Two brothers, Mekadosh, two sisters, Zayna Yodezu Kiddush, Vezayna Yodezu Kiddush, and neither of them know which one of the sisters they were Mekadosh, Zenos and Shnei Gittin, Vezenos and Shnei Gittin. Again, the solution, and not an elegant one, but it's the only solution, is that each one has to issue two gets. Meisu Lezeach, Ulezeach, let's say they die, each one is survived by one brother, Zecholos L'Shem, Vezecholos L'Shem. So then each is going to do Chalitza to both sisters. Shnayim, Vehashnayim, If let's say one is survived by one brother and the other one is survived by two brothers, hayachid cholitz l'shem. So the sole surviving brother has to do chalitza to both. For him, there's no alternative. Ve'hashnayim echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. Now, of the two surviving brothers, of the second brother, the second deceased brother, So again, now we can go through what we did previously, which is one will do chalitza and the other will do yibum. Kidma v'kinsu en motzim yadam. Now, again, there's a specific order. First has to be chalitza, then followed by yibum. However, if one jumped the gun and did yibum first, okay. Lizeshnaim, they can't. They can't. Right? They both can't do yibum. Right? That's so then Beis Din is going to have to intervene. Yep. Lizeshnaim. So let's say they have. Let's say again, two brothers were mekadesh two sisters. They don't know which one they were mekadesh. Each now is survived by two brothers. So lizeshnaim. Echiv shozeh cholas achas, vechiv shozeh cholas achas, achiv shozeh miyabim chulatzoso shozeh, vechiv shozeh miyabim chalutzoso shozeh. So, here's what you can do now. So what you can do is, of the two surviving brothers of both families, so one will do chalitza to one of the sisters, one of the other brothers from the other family will do chalitza to the other sister, and now that frees up and allows yibim to be done. Yibum from the first family will be done by the second surviving brother to the other woman. And the same thing is true with the other family as well. Kid mushtaim v'chiltso lo yivmu hashtayim. Now, let's say of the first family of the two surviving brothers, they both did chalitza. Oh, okay, fine. Now, we no longer have this solution. So we're going to have to go back to our former plan, which is one does chalitza and the other does yibum and kidmu v'kinsu en motzim miyadam. And again, in the scenario where it's chalitza yibum, it has to be specifically in that order, chalitza yibum, and you can't do one in front of the other. Okay, shma mina, yeah, let's do it. Shma mina. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to our first scenario in our Mishnah over here, where a man was mekadesh one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was mekadesh, and now the Mishnah went on to solutions. But even before we get to solutions, the Gemara says, let's make an observation, an important observation. Can he consummate the marriage right now with either one of the sisters? The answer, of course, is no. No. Because again, they're sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadesh. Each one of them now is prohibited to him because it is Achos Ishto. Each one is potentially Achos Ishto. So he's Mekadesh a woman that he can't consummate the marriage with. This is what's called Kedushin Shelo Nimtzeru Labia. Is that a Kedushin? Meaning, again, I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. Kedushin does not require Bia. Now, yes, it's true. Bia is one of the ways that you can effect Kedushin with. That part's true. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Rav Mangid Aman de Mekadosh Bebia. Rav gave out lashes to anyone who was Mekadosh Bebia. It was not at all encouraged. It was very discouraged. For our purposes right now, let's assume Kiddushin was effected with money, which is what we do to this very day. Okay, so you're not having relations with her, but at least there has to be a potential for relations, right? Of course, that's why you're marrying her. You're marrying her so that you could be with her. But in terms of the effectiveness of Kiddushin, does Kiddushin work only in the circumstance where you could have relations with her? That is on the table for discussion right now. There is an opinion that Kedushin Shelo Nimsu Labia is not Kedushin. Our Mishnah clearly doesn't hold that way. Why? Because look at our Mishnah. You were a Mekadesh woman, you don't know which one you were a Mekadesh. Could you consummate the marriage? And the answer is no. So this is Kedushin Shelo Nimsu Labia. And yet, what does the Mishnah do from this point going forward? Well, now we have a problem because you're married. And what do you do? Issue a get, issue two get, and so forth and so on. But clearly, the Mishnah is operating with the assumption that it is a marriage. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Shema mina kedushin sheim mesurim labia have a kedushin. So the Gemara says, okay, so our Mishnah now, why is it even a debate? You read our Mishnah, today's daf, Yevamos Chav Gimel, and you see in our Mishnah today that kedushin shalom mesurim labia is in fact kedushin. It shouldn't be a discussion. Why is it a discussion? So the Gemara says, hachem ma'iskinan kishukur levesof nitarvu. So the Gemara says, because our Mishnah could be talking about a case where you were Mekadesher, you knew who you were Mekadesh at the time, and afterwards they got switched up. Here, the identical twin scenario, right, sounds like something along those lines. So, in fact, when you read the Mishnah carefully, actually, the Mishnah does in fact say that. It says, Einu Yodea. He doesn't currently know who she was. Historically, he knew. So my kamash malan sefer it's the rechlei. So the Gemara says, really? So you just took all the teeth out of the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah was about to make a fantastic point. Kedushin shelo nimtzu labia is in fact kedushin, and now you just defanged the Mishnah, took out the chiddush of the Mishnah. So then why are you teaching me this Mishnah? Only so that our head spins and we now have to figure out the solutions. Meaning, if you think it step by step, every solution in the Mishnah you could have figured out. So the Gemara says no, there is a chiddush in the Mishnah. Sefer it's the rechlei meis v'loach echad cholitz l'shteim haylu shnayim echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if there were two surviving brothers, so then one does chalitza and one does yibum. And specifically in that order, dafka michlitz v'hadar yivumei, aval yivumei b'reisha lo dekapaga be'achos zekukaso. The chiddush of the Mishnah is it has to be chalitza yibum, not yibum chalitza, because again, if you do yibum first, so who are you doing yibum with? You don't know. And it could very well be it was achos zekukaso. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is first chalitza, then yibum. Although to be fair, I think we also could have figured that out on our own as well. Meaning once we know the idea of achos zekukaso, so then we would have figured that out as well. The Gemara is touting this now as the chiddush of the Mishnah. I don't know. It sounds like we could have figured that out. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara says that would then be the chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. We are almost all caught up. That was a really good day. Okay, as far as Chazar of today's daf is concerned, so we started with the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah told us that Ben Mikol Makom is a Ben. Ach Mikol Makom is considered an Ach. And that means that even if the child or the brother is a Mamzer, they are a child and they are a brother. Vis-a-vis the halachas of Yibum and other areas of halacha as well. How do I know that? The Gemara on Chav Beis Amud Beis gave us drushas to arrive at that conclusion. A big discussion of today's daf, most of today's daf. A man's with his sister, it's an erva. How many arayas did he just violate? One or two? Machlokas between Tanayim. We went over the back and forth of that machlokas. And that took us all the way to the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about a man being Mekadesh, one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadesh. What do I do? So the Mishnah gave us solutions. What if he dies? And what if there are surviving brothers? What do they do? The Mishnah gave us solutions as well. Adkan.